And this bloke here, a man who's sadly no longer working for Rabbit Photo, Mick Malloy.
they'll have me back eventually. This is a cooling off period, just till the heat blows over.
Okay. Now, there's a lot of talk.
Want to see some photos?
Have you got anything good?
Later.
Okay. We'll pad them out. We'll stuff the rest of the show with a photo talk, I think. That's what we're going to do today.
That'll be an idea.
And all this talk about photos has got me thinking, do you remember we were actually involved ourselves earlier in the year on this exact program here, Martin Malloy, in a sort of a photo furore involving a test cricketer. Remember when we tried to unload those shots of Imran Khan?
Yep.
Let's I'll see if I can remember. How did it do something like this?
Hello?
Hello, who's that?
It's Fiona Wingate.
Hello, Fiona. How are you? This is Tony Martin, Mick Malloy calling from the Martin Malloy program.
Hi.
And we've got some nude shots of Imran Khan on his honeymoon. Are you interested in buying them?
No.
Why not?
Because we don't run nude shots.
Oh, but these are top stuff. This isn't your run-of-the-mill nude shots. This is Imran on the beach in Spain. He's completely nude in most of them. In one or two, he's got the cricket protector on. Surely you can make an exception for some royal tackle.
That's delightful, but no, we don't run nude shots.
Would you be interested in some very revealing shots of some other great Australian cricketers?
Only as long as they had their clothes on.
No, that's a shame, because we've got one of Booney bollock naked, which we thought you might be able to use. He's jumping over the bales. You'd swear it was a streaker, except he's got his test cap on.
How delightful.
It is, for all concerned.
That's lovely. I'm glad you're getting so much fun out of them, but unfortunately we don't run nude shots.
Here's one you'll run. Gregory Matthews. Is he familiar with that name?
Yes, I am.
We've got shots of Greg nude.
Well, great. That's fine. You can keep them.
We don't want them. That's the problem. We were hoping you'd pay us a pretty penny for them.
No, we're not that kind of magazine.
You know how he wears a hairpiece? Greg Matthews? Well, I think you'll find after having a look at these photos, he's wearing a piece downstairs too. Now you're interested, aren't you?
No, I'm not. Absolutely.
Maybe you could run
not.
A before and after shot.
No,
with Greg.
We don't. We're not that kind of magazine.
Oh, come on.
I think you should go to someone else. We don't run nude shots.
What about a shot of Rodney Marsh pantsless? We've got Merv Hughes completely naked on a trampoline. Surely that interests you.
It's dangerous. It could have someone's eye out.
No. Not in the least.
Not in the least? What about a couple of steamy, racy shots of myself and Tony Martin?
No thanks.
Gee, you had to think about that, didn't you? Okay, Fiona, thanks very much for your time.
Okay.
Bye. In excess, I send a message here on Martin Malloy. And Mick, maybe there's something wrong. Maybe I need, some orthoxicol or something. Maybe it's a circulatory problem, but, I attempted a flashback in that first segment. Did it sound a bit weird to you?
Yes, it did. It sounded totally foreign and alien. You know what it sounded like? It sounded like Tum and Fuller dropped in on the show. Was that supposed to be us, was it?
It was, we've got some...
It was like we were on the Starship Enterprise, just as though we're going into hyperspace or something.
Absolutely.
I don't know. Maybe I just need more coffee, because the flashbacks are just happening at the wrong speed, but I'm sure there'll be a bloke in low-slung jeans in to fix the problem and show us a diagram in a few moments. But anyway, Mick, I happened to read a bit of a story in the paper on the weekend about someone whose work I know we can't get enough of, and that's Larry M, dear.
You're a bookworm, aren't you? You've gone, obviously, for a weighty tome. So you've spent your weekend catching up on the ins and outs of one Larry M, dear.
Yeah, that's right, because I understand Larry. We're going to be seeing a lot more Larry. There's going to be more Larry to go around for everybody, because I think he's made a deal with possibly the pay TV companies. I haven't got any of the details of this story clear in my head. The only thing I recall from the article is that Larry's company is called MDertainment.
Isn't that a tautology?
No, hang on. I won't hear that sort of talk about Larry. MDertainment, I like the idea of MDertainment. I'd like to see an MDertainment channel on Foxtel.
Just the one? Could you get it down to one?
Just round the clock, Larry. And I realise, looking back through the program, some of the shows we've done, we've never really done a salute to Larry M, dear.
Well, there's an oversight we'll have to correct immediately.
And maybe it should be a musical salute to Larry.
Sure.
Now, there is one problem. Neither you or I can sing. It's not for nothing that we're the hosts, not the participants in UFP.
Can we have it sounding like it's not us again?
Oh, no, I think, sure, we can't sing. But, Mickey, that doesn't matter, because that's M-detainment.
He's the clown who says, come on down the galoots. In the car salesman suits, win a fridge from this would-be Glen Ridge. That's M-detainment. The press will attest that he's no yarn events. The fact remains he's the brains behind the main events. It's not easy to invent a show where the host talks caca with Evie and Georgie Parker. And I said no to his new midday show. It's a shame, but he's no David Rain. He came through with world's worst drivers too. We know it is tough. Don't confuse him with Rob Bradford's entertainment.
Yeah, maybe we should get Meatloaf back in, Mickey. I don't know. Yeah.
Left the building.
Dana Dawson, 3 is family. That's the nearest we get to educational content on Martin Molloy here. And, Mickey, I have to say there's been a political storm a-brewing in the papers all week. Have you seen this story about the Libs TV news reports?
No, I did see that.
It says here that, the Liberal Party plans to service regional television stations, that's out in the country, with prepackaged news grabs on key issues. And the ALP claim that it could breach electoral and broadcasting laws by failing to identify these so-called news reports as Liberal Party propaganda. Now, I don't know, because I've heard the reports and, well, have a listen for yourself.
And now on Channel 17, Kalgoorlie TV, it's time for the national news with Barry.
G'day, Barry here. Welcome to the national news. And Steve-O, if you're watching, those bloody cows are loose again. Get that gate fixed, will you? Now, our lead story tonight, it's official. The Liberal Party are tops, and you really ought to vote for them. Here with the details, our political correspondent, Bill.
Thanks, Barry. Well, it's been confirmed the Liberals are the party with the policies and ideas to lead Australia into the next century. According to a document obtained by Channel 17 News, John Howard is the only leader with the guts and know-how to stem the tide of bloated, foolhardy economic mismanagement which has come to characterise our increasingly wrong-footed Labor government. Here's what the man in the street had to say.
Vote Liberal.
Yes, I agree, vote Liberal. You'd be mad not to.
I love John Howard and I want to have his children.
Oh, I think the ALP are doing just a fantastic job.
Oh, sorry, technical problems there. Well, as you can see, the general consensus seems to be vote Liberal. Back to you, Barry.
Thanks, Bill. And we'll be back in a moment with the other top stories of the day, including new studies show you can't buy better than Kmart. Coca-Cola, it's the real thing. Independent inquiry names Safeway the fresh food people. And newly appointed Kalgoorlie Ombudsman announces, I'll be asking the tough questions, like, have you driven a Ford lately?
Martin Molloy, have we had enough Bon Jovi in the last week?
Nah.
Why can't we play some Keanu, Gracie?
Get us some Dogstar, Gracie.
I'm sure we've got a bit of his work. You go have a look up there. And while you're finding that, I'll just mention that coming up on the program, we've got, Radio Gladiators is coming up. And then in the next hour, I think we're going to be joined by Sir David Putnam. Is this the first time we've had a knight on the program?
Yes, it is. So behave yourself.
They haven't knighted Russell Gilbert yet, have they?
Nah, but it's not far away. It's not far away.
Yeah. Is there a protocol? I mean, are they rolling out some kind of carpet down the front there?
Yes. Yeah, people are being frisked all day in the building.
Has he got a sword?
Yes. Yes, if you get down on bended knee, I dare say there's a chance he'll take to you with it.
Can he give you a knighthood? Like, once you've got one yourself, can you just dish him out yourself? Mm. Like, you know,
minis? Yeah, I think so. I think it's like when you're in the, like, if you're in the Mickey Mouse Club, you can hand out the rabbit ears. I think once you're the mouse ears, once you're a sir, you can just about do what you like.
Or you can hand out the rabbit ears.
You can do what you like.
I believe you get the sword, you get some kind of, you know, belt and some rabbit ears.
That's, yeah, 3-pack of CDs.
Yeah. I bet he's just driving here now, and I reckon he's just done a Yui. He's been listening on the radio. Oh, dear, I thought this was a proper radio program, but I believe we've got a bit of Keanu. Let's have a listen. This is when he was on Radio Gladiators. Mm. Remember this?
Thank you, good night.
Yeah, that's... what was it again? Yeah. Theme from the Deer Hunter, of course it was. Okay, well, enough Keanu, because let's talk good music. We're talking duet with Pete. That's coming up in the next hour. And in case you weren't listening yesterday, have a listen to Pete and Sean.
Don't stop thinking of me.
Don't make me feel this way.
Come on over and love me.
You know I want you to stay.
Don't be cruel
to a heart that's true.
I don't want no other lover.
Baby, it's just you I'm thinking of.
Yes, indeed. That was Sean. Mm. And where was he about 10 minutes ago when we were doing That's Emdeertainment, I ask?
He could have been a third above.
He could indeed. Did we score ourselves for that, by the way, Mickey?
Four.
Oh, very generous.
Three for me, one for you, buddy.
Okay, duet with Pete in the next hour. But like I said, on the way, it's Radio Gladiators.
This is
time to step across the Benson Bridge for another round of... I'm looking at the front of today's paper, Mickey. There's a big picture of Carmen Lawrence with just the word porkies. That's all it says.
That's all you need to say.
Porkies with a couple of exclamation marks. Is she going to stick around?
Oh, I think so. If Paul Keating has anything to do with it, she'll be around for a long time to come.
But what say she doesn't? What say she's going to be looking for another job? That's the foundation of which we're going to build a solid wall of entertainment on Radio Gladiators today.
I wasn't helping you at all there, was I? I was supposed to go, well, I don't think so.
It's okay. Want to do another couple of verses of That's Emdeertainment while we're here, Mickey? We had a lot more, too.
That's Emdeertainment,
maybe later. But we're looking for a new job for Carmen Lawrence, just in case somebody else has already pinched her chair. Mm. Just in case she's already stealing stationery, we want to know, what's she going to do next? Any ideas, Mickey? What could she do?
I'd like to see her reading the weather.
Yeah?
Doing the weather. Because, you know, you can tell a few porkies in that caper and get away with it. It's expected.
Yeah, so a media job, maybe.
Something in the anything in the media.
What about talking over the end credits of programs? Just going, next up, hilarious entertainment with the world's funniest commercial. You have to be on the fib to be able to... I mean, Pete sure. Smith. Pete Smith, he could be health minister. He's got all the requirements.
But okay. Is that what you want to hear from your health minister? Next up, the commish.
No, you don't. Table Latin hand, sir. But, yeah, so it doesn't have to be in the media. It can be any darn job you want, people.
Something that her natural attributes should lend her towards.
Yeah. All words to that effect. That's right. But, anyway, there's a prize.
Hosting a radio program.
Sure. What about that Sonny Discman? What about the 4 and 20 people they're turning on this fabulous prize? And I'm not Carmening you. This is a sensational bit of stereo, this Sonny Discman. And... you go into the draw for the Ford Festiva, which we're finally pulling out of the barrel this Friday. Mm. Courtesy of the Ford Australian Open. Is it getting any closer, this Ford Australian Open, Mickey?
Yep, it's just around the corner now, and I, for one, am looking forward to it.
At the Tennis Centre in Melbourne, a bit of tennis come January.
All right, and they should be careful while they're out here.
Yeah.
If they need any photographs done, be careful where they send them. No, we've had this before, because they're top-class sportsmen. And you know what the photos would be of?
What?
Just really happy guys playing on at the Australian Open. They're like big grins on their faces, because they're loving it, because it's a premier event.
I want to see at the tennis, Mick. I want to see bad guys. Are there any bad guys? When I was a kid, there was always bad guys in tennis. Are there any left?
I made a run at it once, and I got kicked out because I tried to wear a little mask.
Oh, yeah, you like the wrestling.
a little mask and some elf shoes, but they wouldn't go for it, and I was kicked out.
Maybe that's the go. Maybe Sampras. I mean, what's his angle?
A bit of tag team tennis.
Maybe I'd like to see Sampras in a big scorpion suit. People booing him when he goes out, and if they beat him, the other player gets to jump the net and rip the head off and see who the scorpion is.
And their coaches in the crowd should be more like, you know, the wrestling managers, like Mr. Fuji and the other guy, you know, guy with the cane, giving it to Sampras.
A bit like Bobby the Brain.
Bobby the Brain Heenan, okay. In your corner.
Now, I hope the people from the Ford Australian Open are listening with a notebook in their hands, because good ideas and plenty of them, that's what this show is about. And speaking of good ideas, we want to hear what your new job for Carmen Lawrence is. Call us now, 1-800-657-657. Richard with Carnival on Martin Malloy. It's Radio Gladiators. Today we're looking for a new job for Carmen Lawrence, just in case she might need one in the next week or so. So, Mickey, who have we got?
We've got Sam on the line. G'day, Sam.
Hi.
How's it going?
Not too bad.
All right, what do you reckon Carmen should be doing?
Well, I think if Carmen left politics, she could flog off cheap timeshare apartments to retired federal politicians.
Is that right? So she could get into the real estate game.
Yeah, I think she could perhaps let out government house to Mr. Marx himself.
Oh, okay.
Get him into the house.
So she should be walking around Parliament House going, oh, commanding views. Spectacular vistas.
I can see it.
Yeah.
She'd be right at home amongst her real estate friends. Nice thinking Sambo.
Okay, Sam, let's see what John's got to say.
Hello.
John, what's your suggestion?
Well, I thought she... there must be a job for someone who keeps writing out all that bullshit that Saddam keeps coming out with, Saddam Hussein, you know?
I think he prefers to call it propaganda.
Yeah, that's right. But, I mean, he must be in need of someone sometime.
Yeah, so what, she would just sit there all day writing press releases to the effect of, no, I'm not working on a super gun.
That's right.
Everything's been dismantled.
The Kurds are fine.
And
what chemical weapons?
Uday's just a normal, well-adjusted young man.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, it could work. Thanks, John. And have we got Stuart there?
Yeah.
Stuart, what do you think Carmen should be doing?
I think Carmen should be a drive-through attendant at McDonald's.
Well, is that right?
Yeah.
That'd be good.
So she'd have to say, would you like fries with that 100 times a day?
Yeah, or she could say, would you like lies with that?
Okay. All right, thanks very much, Stuart and Mickey. And have we got Tim there? Tim, what do you think Carmen should be doing?
I reckon that they could really use her on the police force in King's Cross. You know, they wouldn't have to worry about her taking bribes because with her bad memory, she'd go to arrest someone and forget what she was arresting them for.
And does she like a drink, though?
Sorry?
Does she like a drink?
Well, you know, I've heard rumours.
Okay. That could explain the memory loss, perhaps.
It could, yeah.
Okay, well, yeah.
Very interesting.
I hope you don't live anywhere near King's Cross yourself, Timbo.
No.
Okay. Thanks very much. And finally, Cheryl. Cheryl, what do you think Carmen should be up to?
I reckon she should be the Pakistani cricket captain, and then she could lie that she bribes all the other players.
Oh, is that our winning suggestion?
I tell you, in lieu of anything else, it might have to be. That's the last time we're giving it to anyone who comes up with Pakistani cricketer. That's, you know, that's well, how many now?
I think that's been the winning answer for the last 2 weeks on Gladiators. I think it's players your daggiest record.
But, people have gone, well, I've got a little number myself. Lent itself to it on that occasion. Well done, Cheryl. You must be happy.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
Yeah, you're not doing a Carmen on us.
Nah.
Now, Cheryl, have you got your licence?
Yeah.
No, there's a bit of Carmen in that answer.
You're our new health minister. Congratulations. Well, whatever happens, whether you can drive or whether you're allowed to or not, I hope someone in the household's got the license because you're in the draw for the Ford Festiva this Friday.
Oh, wow, thanks.
And here's something you can drive. It's a Sony Discman, and that's all yours, courtesy 420 Pies.
Oh, wow.
It's very easy to operate that one. And thanks for being our winner today on Gladiators.
Oh, thanks, guys.
And everyone else who took part, a big hearty congratulations to you, and I really do mean that, and I'm not just...
On you, Carmen.
Okay. All right. And, hey, we've got to go and get the tuxedos on now, people, because joining us after the news, it's Knight of the Realm filmmaker Sir David Putnam. And in this hour of Martin Malloy, Galaxy of Stars, duet with Pete, Lookin' CD, and next up we roll out the carpet for our very special guest, filmmaker Sir David Putnam, and it's all thanks to Telstra Mobile Net Digital. Malloy, we're our distinguished guest today. He's one of the biggest guns in the British film industry, having produced such flicks as Chariots of Fire, The Killing Fields, Midnight Express, and local hero, not one single carry-on on the resume. And when he's not out making movies or making enemies in Hollywood, he's, well, out on the talk circuit. And as such, we've tricked him into coming in here today. Please all rise for Sir David Putnam. Sir David, thanks for coming in today.
Very great pleasure.
It's a bit of a special occasion for us because you're the first knight we've had on the program.
Once a night's enough.
And is there a protocol? Is there anything we're supposed to be doing here?
No, a little bit of kneeling goes a long way.
Oh, okay.
Am I in trouble because I'm in tracky dacks?
Yes.
Should I put something on?
It's the new nightwear.
Oh, is it? Is it really?
Excellent.
Now, just before we get to the movies, I want to know about this night business. What happens? Do you get a little kit sent out? Is there a protocol? What happens if a dragon shows up? Are you? Is there certain requirements from you?
We expect you to act. It just says we're supposed to act accordingly. It doesn't say what accordingly is.
Okay.
I think it changes with the century.
But you're on standby.
Absolutely on standby.
Okay. Now, another thing is, I suppose you're really a showbiz knight, aren't you?
Yes, I would qualify as a showbiz knight. Therefore, I'd probably look for showbiz dragons.
Are there a few around?
There's a lot of those.
You've worked in Hollywood. Now, do the other knights tend to look down their nose a bit at showbiz knights?
No, we showbiz knights tend to look down our noses at the other knights.
Good on you. Now, we hinted at Hollywood there, and I know whenever you look at an article about Sir David Putnam, there's always reference to his brief sojourn in Hollywood back in the 80s. Looking back at it now, what do you make of that experience? What does it seem like with a bit of time under your belt?
It was a strange period, slightly unreal, actually.
Yeah.
I've never, ever felt that I was there. Mm. I know it sounds silly. I remember, I'll give you a very good example. I was sat one evening at a kind of an award ceremony, as a matter of fact, and they did a thing about the history of the great Hollywood studios, and I thought, oh, that's really great, Hollywood studios. And I look across, and there's Lou Wasserman, who ran Universal, sitting there, and a guy, Martin Davis, who owned Fox, and I was thinking, hang on a second, that's me. I'm one of these five. They come out of the five great studios, uh-huh. And I felt a complete fraud, absolute fraud. That no one had noticed that somehow or other I was sitting there and they were talking about the great Hollywood studios. Uh-huh. And it was always a little bit like that. I always felt that someone had made a horrible computer error.
Were they pretty nasty to you? From what I can tell, they were, weren't they?
Not as nasty. I think that the mythology that's followed my departure is nastier than the... at the time, actually, I had some very nice times. There were some terrific people there. What I'm very proud of is all the people that worked with me there, all the people I brought into Columbia while I was there, have all done fantastically well. I mean, Steven Spielberg's new company's been... production end's been run by a couple of people who worked for me there.
Right.
The guy runs Columbia, the guy runs Fox now. We're all... as I say, people who I think I earmarked and promoted. So I must have done something right.
Mm-hmm. And do you pop back to Hollywood from time to time still?
Yeah, I go 3 or 4 times a year. I'd also like to point out that the greatest number by Columbia Pictures was won the year that I was with the films that I was in charge of.
You produced some great films, Chariots of Fire, of course, The Killing Fields, The Mission. You must be bitterly disappointed you didn't get on board Showgirls.
Yes, I tried. I rehearsed a bit of lap dancing, but clearly whatever I was doing was wrong.
No sequels. Now, why not? You've got The Mission, Chariots of Fire. Come on, Chariots of Fire 2. That's got to be a cash cow waiting to be milked. It doesn't interest you?
Fun enough, there's a reason. I remember when we finished Bugsy Malone, there was terrific pressure to do Bugsy 2. Mm. But the truth of the matter is you've done that, and the last thing you'd in the world want to do is revisit those problems.
Sir David, I have to mention Bugsy Malone. That came out when I was a kid. And what were those guns called that the kids...
Splurge guns.
And they sort of fired. For people who haven't seen it, there was a gangster movie where the kids had guns that fired custard pies at each other, basically. Mm. And I must have spent 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks in the back shed trying to make one of those to very little effect.
Thousands of them were made, and they were all sold to Iran.
Really?
Yes, Saddam Hussein is entirely equipped.
His super splurge gun. He's working on it now. Well, Sir David, can you stick around for a while?
I'd like to.
Okay, we'll be back in a moment with our very first night right here on Martin Malloy. Let's groove that CDB here on
Martin Malloy.
And Sir David Putnam has very kindly agreed to stick around for another break. Sir David, it's a Saturday night. You've got nothing to do. You pop down the video shop. What do you get out?
Chinese films for the most part.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I buy a Chinese meal takeaway, Chinese film, and it's my way of travelling.
Do you enjoy the Hong Kong cinema? I love those, the work of your John Woo's and, you know, your sort of high action stuff.
I enjoy it. I practice, and no one's ever cast me.
Well, you don't see much of that kind of stuff in the British cinema, do you?
No. Kicking's out.
There isn't much kickboxing in a Merchant Ivory film, I've noticed.
No, I don't know. Don't underestimate Merchant Ivory. If you could kickbox in a Laura Ashley Gingham I think anything's possible.
Now, what are you working on at the moment, Sir David? What are you? You've got a couple of classics in you, do you think?
I'm doing a 13-hour series for Channel 4 from a book called A Suitable Boy, Vikram Seth. Huge, tome of a book, a very good book,
right.
Doing that in India. And it's wonderful. No one's asking me who's in it or who's going to direct it. It's a joy.
If you were back at Columbia, who would the suitable boy be? That'd be Macaulay Culkin, wouldn't it?
It would be Macaulay Culkin in blackface.
Of course.
I'm afraid it wouldn't quite work. Is it blackface all right on air now?
I think you can say blackface in Australia. We'll edit it out if you can't.
If you would. but I think it's exactly the kind of project that, of course, you can't do in America.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes it very pleasant, mm-hmm. because you really feel you can deliver something you can be proud of, and which actually it represents the piece of work that you bought in the first place.
So, David, you've been an outspoken critic on violence in films. Do you think Hollywood itself are responsible for this? I mean, is this part of the ethics of the people making the films, or are they making it for the market?
I don't think the market operates that way. I think the market doesn't know really what it wants. Mm-hmm. It wants to see good films. It wants to be entertained, and it wants to be moved. Wants to cry, wants to laugh. No, I think in the end it comes down to the people who make the films. And there's a very simple rule of thumb that I don't understand why it's not being applied. In the end, every one of us know the type of society, broadly speaking, we want to live within.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got kids, you want the kids to be able to go to school safely, come home safely, you don't want to be sitting twitching all day, mm-hmm. about whether they're safe. Therefore, to make a movie that doesn't actively promote the type of society that you live within or mm-hmm. wish to live within is an act of madness, really, mm-hmm. unless you so desperately need the money that you just sell out for whatever you get.
Yeah, I saw a bizarre film recently called Assassins, and it's a Sylvester Stallone film, basically, and Sylvester Stallone plays the good assassin, and there's another assassin who's a bad assassin, and all he's doing is exactly what Sylvester Stallone's doing, which is running around killing people for money, but we're forced to make, like, a moral judgment between, you know, Sylvester Stallone, who's a heroic assassin who kills guys for money, and the other guy, who's just a bit of an arsehole, who also happens to kill people for money. Now, that confuses me.
Well, no, I think the arsehole's the guy who does it for half fee.
Exactly.
He's got a rotten agent, and he's not getting the right enough money for it. The interesting thing is that you just described a film. Now, basically, I've seen that film, but I've seen it starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone, and you can put many other dozen names, you know, mm-hmm. out of a book, and that's the problem. Rapidly we've come to the conclusion we've all seen the same film, we're seeing it over and over again, with a few different special effects thrown in, mm-hmm. and a different star in the lead, and I think the audience may well have reached a point where, you know, maybe it's had enough.
Yes, we've all seen that film, and the worst thing is we've probably all seen it on a plane, which is where it belongs.
Absolutely true.
So, David, thanks for coming in and talking a bit of sense today on Martin Malloy.
It's a great pleasure. I mean, again, one of the wonderful things about being a knight is you just can go around the world adding tone to whatever venue you find yourself in.
Well, we'll get up off our knees now. And we'll be back with more in a moment on Martin Malloy. Young Cannibals, She Drives Me Crazy here on Martin Malloy. And Mick, a message has just come off the fax machine. Sir David Putnam's production of Suitable Boy that he was telling us about has just been optioned by Paramount Pictures, mm-hmm. and they're retitling it The Last Suitable Boy Scout. And it now stars Bruce Willis. So,
good.
We'll get him back to talk about that.
Mm.
Now, I don't know, did we draw a bit of blue talk out of... Sir David,
we had a sir or a knight on our show using the word arsehole.
Is that allowed?
He's a sir.
Will a little light be going off next to the Queen's bed? Someone said arsehole and gets demoted to OBE or
Absolutely.
Something.
Absolutely. It's going to be a talking to.
It's good to know that we can draw all our guests down to our own level, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. But there's one person who rises above it all.
Have you ever dreamed of singing a duet with one of the great... ...by calling Martin Malloy and performing a duet with... ...firstly, Epichan Dude Lad. You'll need your baggies if you want to join me for the Beach Boys classic Surfin' USA. Bring me a bitchin' dude, lads.
Okay, Pete, what language is he speaking there?
I don't know. Pete's saying bitch. We've got sir saying arsehole. What's going on with this program?
Oh, does this network have a back chat segment? It's on sometime after Dr. Feelgood.
Anyway. The closest we've got to back chat is a little segment called Foolish Behaviour, and I don't think it's quite cutting the mustard.
Now, if you want to take part in Duet with Pete, you must know by now you'll need a pen and paper. Give us the music, or I see. And Mickey, this piece of music, do you think, can we adapt it to, what were the lyrics we were coming up with for That's Entertainment?
Ooh.
The clown saying come on down, doesn't quite work.
No.
The galoot in the car salesman suit. Winifred's
with this would-be Glenridge.
But you know what? It doesn't sound any worse with this music. Mm. That's the thing about it.
That's it.
Okay, I think you've got your pens. I think you've got your paper. I think you've got your baggies on. You're ready for Surfing USA with one Pete Smith. Call now, 1-800-657-657. Boys, we duck into the glittery, spangly, showbizzy Don Laney. I'm not a stripper, I'm a dancery, damn it. Confines of the Vegas Lounge, home of Duet with Pete. Today, we're talking Beach Boys, we're talking Surfing USA, and who's going to do it with Pete?
Oh, the very dizzy Miss Lizzie. G'day, Liz, how are you?
Good, guys, how are you going?
Oh, not too bad. You got the Ockies on?
I certainly have, and the board shorts to match.
Now, Liz, have you got an iota of musical talent?
Oh, well, I'm sort of a karaoke queen, but that's as far as it goes, I'm afraid.
Well, I wish we could say that much. Did you hear us singing That's Him Deertainment earlier on the program?
I did.
Yeah, it was shocking, wasn't it?
It was.
How many points would you give us?
Oh, I reckon 3.5.
3.5? Do we go? Oh, no. It's not even good enough. Even the audience can't bring themselves to applaud properly. Okay, well, let's see what you are made of, Liz.
Okay.
It's Surfing USA. Take it away, show band.
If everybody had an ocean
across the USA,
then everybody'd be surfing
like California, yeah.
You'd see them wearing their baggies,
Hirachi sandals too,
bushy, bushy blonde hairdos,
Surfing USA.
You'll catch them surfing at Del Mar,
Ventura County Line,
Santa Cruz and Tressa,
Australia's Narrow Bay,
all over Manhattan,
and down the Heaney Way.
Everybody's going surfing,
Surfing USA.
Yeah, everybody's going surfing,
Surfing USA.
That was pretty much perfect, I think.
Do you reckon?
And do you get the feeling, Liz, that we did that whole thing just so we could hear Pete saying bushy, bushy blonde hairdos?
I think you might have.
Those are the kind of creative decisions we make very late at night in the Martin
you do
Malloy
it so
office.
Well,
you've done it pretty well, but the hanging judge, Mick Malloy's got a pen in his hand. What have you written down, Mickey?
As far as I'm concerned today, Liz was hanging 10.
No, oh, it's a 10! I think he's just so embarrassed by That's Him Deertainment that he can't do anything else but give you full marks.
Oh, thanks a lot. Fingers and toes crossed with a car. Just had an accident today.
Oh, well, that's not going to help, Liz.
Oh, I can suck, can't I?
Nice try. Now, you've gone into the draw, though, and we're drawing it Friday.
Oh, great.
And, well, whether you get it or not, you've got the Die Hard with a Vengeance prize pack.
I actually haven't seen it.
Oh, well, it's on video, and for the first time in the whole time we've been giving these things away, I've got out the bit of paper that says what's in the prize
well
bag.
Done.
And as well as the video, you've got the Die Hard with a Vengeance hat. That's the most dangerous hat on the market. There's the CD soundtrack. That's just that'd be a couple of hours of things blowing up. That's it. And listen to this, the Die Hard with a Vengeance book. That's going to be a work of literature, isn't it?
I think so.
What will that be?
Hemingway.
It was the best of times. It was the deadliest of times. Okay, good reading there. And
thanks
good
a lot.
Viewing. Thanks for taking part in Duet with Pete.
Anytime,
Well, we might call you back. We've got your number. And we'll be back with yet another Duet with Pete tomorrow on Martin Malloy. And Mick Malloy. He's just given me the peg on the nose. Which you're not referring to the music we've just been listening to.
Oh, no, I think it's more about what's coming.
I only want to be with you. That was Hootie and the Blowfish here and Martin Malloy. And, of course, Martin Malloy, the program that prides itself on having more cheesy segments per episode than any other, and none has the stink of cheddar more than the Martin Malloy Galaxy of Stars.
And today, Tone, it's a particularly pungent cheese. It's been left on the shelf in the sun.
Yeah, who's
for a few days.
Who's on the label?
We've got a couple. Bruce Willis, but we'll get to him firstly. Let's open up with some Yoko Ono news.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of hoo-ha because, you know, there's this new Beatles album coming out and stuff. So Yoko's being reported in the press a fair bit. And here's something she said. She's admitted to reminiscing about the little things that often remind her of her late husband, John Lennon.
Oh, yeah.
She says, when I put my shirt on today, I remembered how he told me that after you tucked your shirt into your jeans, you should hold both arms up in the air so that your shirt hangs evenly over your belt the whole way round when you put it down. I thought that was interesting. I was thinking about it, Tonin. You know, if John Lennon had seen that nutbag coming at him with a gun, he'd have both hands in the air, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Because I'm betting when John Lennon was taken down to the coroner's office, his shirt was hanging evenly over the belt all the way around. Do you think it's possible?
Well,
that's what I'm thinking. You know, Ringo Starr does the same thing.
Does he?
Yeah. When he puts on a pair of jeans, he sticks both arms in the air so that when he takes them down, his gut falls evenly over the belt the whole way around.
Do we look to the Beatles for sartorial advice? That's what
exactly.
I mean, where are you getting this from?
Well, from Yoko Ono.
Okay.
Apparently she would know, Tone. She would know. But one man who wouldn't have to bother is, as I said, Bruce Willis. Because, well, basically, he's never got any pants on. And this is according to Sybil Shepherd. During the filming of the aptly named Moonlighting series, Willis apparently was prone to baring his backside to the crew.
Oh, yeah.
He would moon so often she got sick and tired of the sight. You'd have to look twice, though, because you wouldn't know whether he was mooning or he'd brought his twin sons on set, would you? You'd have to really check yourself. She confesses, he used to like to moon to the point where I would say, look, next time you do that, would you please give me a little warning? Nothing personal, but seeing your hairy ass once was enough. Sir David Putnam's gone, hasn't he?
He has left.
Yes. Oh, good. Now, Tony, this is what I can't believe. She's asking for a warning. What would be worse? Coming face to face with a pantsless Bruce Willis or him coming up and letting you know it could happen any time soon? I don't know if I'd be into that. And the warning, what would that be? An air raid siren? A letter from his lawyer? What? Because let me tell you, you know, once word got out that he was going to drop the duds, it'd be like the evacuation of Saigon. People would be trying to get on that last train out of town, offering you money for your tickets on a plane. Families would be separated in the stampede. 20 years later, they'd be tracking their own brothers and sisters down. You know, people who hadn't seen each other since, well, Bruce Willis dropped the pants back in 89 on that infamous day now known simply as Ass Wednesday. What if it's like a cyclone warning? What about that? After the news, what's going to happen? There's going to be some guy on telly in a bow tie with a pointer aimed at a diagram of Bruce Willis's butt going, oh, yes, there's a Bruce Willis ass warning in the Los Angeles area. Those people who haven't left town are advised to stay indoors. The eye of the ass should pass by midday, which is about the time the president flies in and declares the whole place a disaster area. Every year, Tone, on the same day, these people should band together for a march for anyone who experienced the horror of one of Bruce's little moonshines. And it'd be a great day. All the flags would be at half-mast. Well, anything would be at half-mast, really, just as long as it wasn't Bruce's pants.
Four non-blondes here on Martin Malloy. What's up? And I just have to ask, Mickey, are you absolutely sure that Sir David Putnam has left the building?
Coast clear, Tone.
Okay, and another warning to anyone who might be about to or may have just had something to eat. Might be a good time to just, you know, pop outside and maybe check the bins.
Welcome to another episode of Lookin' Seedy.
Shy guy, that's Diana King. And Mickey, can I just ask you, are you working on any more episodes of Lookin' Seedy?
Not if the phone response is anything to go by, Tone. I think we might be hanging that up for a while.
What, it's not testing well?
In some markets. In other markets, it's getting an extreme reaction.
Okay, well, it's almost time
I'll do another one, buddy, just for you.
Good idea.
And this one's going to be seedier.
Can you go see it?
I just tip the ice, just scraping the iceberg. We can plunge those depths.
Well, there's some scraping required around here, and we've really got to sign off, people, but as always, I'd like to leave you with a quick cut, Snake, because if you want to find out just how mad Australians really are, all you have to do is dip into your local newspaper and check the letters to the editor, and listen to this for a beauty. This one comes from somebody who calls himself Logical. And what does Logical have to say? Listen to the thoughts of Logical. Says Logical, to all those against casinos, according to gambling help groups, 57% of problem gamblers are women. Therefore, if women were at home looking after their husbands and children as they should be, more than half of the gambling problem would be solved. P.S. Nurse, the screaming in the next cell is keeping me awake at night. So,
Logical.
Good on you, Lodge.
On your Lodge.
Yeah, it's good to see.
He's a wacky guy, isn't he?
Obviously, since, the West Australian Liberal Party dumped him, Logical's got a lot more time to write to the papers. But, oh, dear. Always like to end with a bit of cut snake action. And we've really got to go. So, thanks to our guest, Sir David Putnam, and all our gladiators. Tomorrow, we'll be joined by our buddy, former Crowdy, shed connoisseur and paradiddle king, Paul Hester. And today we'll leave you with, well, do we have a musical incinerator on the program, Mick?
No, we don't. But we do have something you and me knocked up earlier in the program, which was intended to be musical.
Yeah, that's right. So we'll leave you with That's Endurtainment.
He's the clown who says, come on down the galoots. In the car salesman suits, win a fridge from this would-be Glen Ridge. That's Endurtainment. The press will attest that he's no yarn events. The fact remains he's the brains behind the main events. It's not easy to invent a show with a host talks cracker with Evie and Georgie Parker. Nine said no to his new midday show. It's a shame, but he's no David Rain. He came through with world's worst drivers too. We know it is tough. Don't confuse him with Rob Bradford's Entertainment.
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with Half-Baked Ideas and Ill-Conceived Concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital. Pete Smith speaking.